Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. A few years ago, I had the pleasure of welcoming an original new voice on piano jazz, the one and only Nellie Mackay. Since then, she has made an award-winning debut on Broadway and has taken on the Great American Songbook with a wonderful album dedicated to Doris Day. An encore visit was in order, so I've asked my good friend and champion of American popular song, Michael Feinstein, to host this week's program. I can't wait to hear what these two have got lined up for today. Take it away, Michael.
Thank you, Marion. Well, I am so honored Marion has asked me to guest host today's program. For one thing, I'm thrilled to be talking and performing with my friend and fellow interpreter of American popular song, the wonderful and delightful Nellie Mackay. Welcome to Piano Jazz, Nellie.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great to be on this program with you because for me it's kind of like going down the rabbit hole having listened to Marion's show for so many years and having heard the program that you did with her. And now here we are following her incredible footsteps and celebrating the joy of popular music and piano music.
Yes, and there's so much out, it's hard to pick just a few.
Is piano your first love?
Piano is my first love, but it's awfully heavy.
Well, you don't have to move them, right?
Hopefully not. But it's hard when you're on the road finding one. It's half the time if there's one in the hotel, they won't let you play it.
I have encountered that many times, and the digital keyboard doesn't make it.
No, or you do bring one, and it literally doesn't make it. It doesn't even not sound good. It just...
Well, apropos of that, I think that we should slide very neatly into Irving Berlin's 1915 classic, I Love a Piano.
Yeah.
As a child, I got wild when the band played. How I ran to the man when his hands swayed. Clarinets were my pets, and the slide trombone I thought was simply divine. But today, when they play, I could hiss them. Every bar is a jar to my system. But there's one musical instrument that I call mine.
I love a piano, I love a piano. I love to hear somebody play upon a piano, a grand piano. It simply carries me away. I know a fine way to treat a Steinway. I love to run my fingers over the keys, the ivories, and with the pedal. I love to meddle, not only music from Broadway. I'm so delighted if I'm invited to hear a long-haired genius play.
I love a piano.
Love a piano.
I love a piano.
I love a piano.
I love to hear somebody play
on a piano.
Grand piano.
A grand piano.
Simply carries me away.
Ooh, I know a fine way to treat a Steinway. I love to
comes my way.
I'm so enlightened if I'm invited to hear a short-haired genius play.
Well, you can keep your fiddle and your bow. Give me a B-I-A-N-O, oh, oh! I love to stop right
beside an upright
or a high tone, baby.
That was a blast. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
That song is one that Berlin changed the lyrics on, because originally the lyric was, I'm so delighted about Paderewski. There was a reference to Paderewski, and later he took it out of the lyric because the song was so popular for so long that he figured people wouldn't know who Paderewski is, and so it was expurgated from the later version.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to have your song go on that long.
Do you think about the survival of your songs in 80 years, like these songs that you sometimes choose? They were written so long ago. Do you wonder about people singing your songs in the future?
Oh, no, I mostly worry about my rent and what my dogs are chewing on at this very moment. I just worry about who's going to get all the great old clothes that I have and my mother has. So that's the main reason, really, to be successful, is I want to be successful enough so they can auction off all the clothes and they'll go to good homes. So I'm not, I guess I'm not really thinking about the music as usual.
Have you ever wanted to change a lyric after you've written a song?
No, all of them, yes. But I'm too lazy.
Well, you certainly don't seem lazy.
Oh, thank you. I guess in some respects, in real life, I'm a good actor.
Well, what I see in you is that you're always taking notes about things. You are extraordinarily observant of the world.
Oh, right.
So in that sense, I don't think you're lazy at all, because you seem to me to be more awake and aware than many people are in this world.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, it's wonderful to observe people. Or I like to sit and judge people. I think that's my favorite of all.
One of the things that I think is wonderful about what you've created is that you truly follow your own path. And people who do that are always surrounded by the business people that tell us they want us to do this, they want us to do that. Have you had freedom in what you record?
Oh, well, we pretty much demand it at this point, and we have a good supply of fake weapons, so I think that helps. We have this wonderful fake sword that goes ching, chong, and then it also lights up while it does it, and we have this wonderful fake gun that's actually in the album artwork for this album, our latest release, Home Sweet Mobile Home. It's just fun, and I think that lightens the mood, and it also helps you get what you want in some way.
What has been one of the nicest things that has happened as a result of writing a song? I mean, because you've affected a lot of people, and there have been ballets and dances created to your music. I mean, your songs have been taken and appropriated by people in many different ways, and what is that experience like?
It's lovely if people like your music. I mean, especially because I don't like it that much. I mean, once you make it, you know, I can never listen to these things. So I'm glad that somebody responds to it, and that maybe it means something in their life. And I always hope they got it on sale, and I hope it serves some purpose.
Do you mostly write at the keyboard?
I try not to so much anymore, I think that can perhaps be limiting. So now I have a new method that I write when I'm eating, which is great because it gives you an excuse to eat a lot. but I love having a good meal. It makes you feel so warm inside. I think it's good for creativity.
Right. These classic songs, have you listened to classic songs your whole life? I mean, standards. I'm trying to figure out the chronology of your musical influences, because I know that you grew up partially anyway here in New York, and spent time in Harlem, and you spoke about being influenced by all the music of the street. But at the same time, you were exposed to all these classic songs, which obviously you wouldn't have heard in the street, so they were played in the home, in your home. Or how did you find them?
Well, we had a Volkswagen bus, and my mother would, you know, we had an 8-track machine, and she got these various ones, and so she really liked the Blood, Sweat, and Tears one, and I really liked the Tommy Dorsey one. So there was a bit of an intergenerational a feud there. Well, not really. I mean, obviously she picked them both up because she liked both of them, but, you know, I took after my Nana with the, you know, the fake flowers and the generous use of perfume and her taste in music too, and we also got a tape. I don't know where we got it, but undoubtedly on sale of Ella Fitzgerald with Chick Webb and my mother, knowing more about Ella's career, she almost couldn't believe that was Ella at first because she sounds like Betty Boop. But that was my first introduction really to jazz singing.
Oh wow! Well, that's the best introduction.
Yeah.
How did you discover the song Body and Soul? Do you remember?
Oh, my. I think that's one that I haven't heard much. I think it must have just been in a fake book, and I used to play it at piano bars.
Well, it's interesting to note that this song, Body and Soul, has music by Johnny Green, who I was lucky enough to know and I adored. But the lyric, primarily written by Edward Heyman, was written by a man who was gay. And I find that lyric very interesting when you hear it in the context of knowing what was going on in that time, in 1930 when it was written, to listen to the lyric from that standpoint. Would you sing it?
Oh, I'd love to. I often think listening to Billy Strayhorn's music and lyrics that was reflective of what he went through, too, during that time as a gay man. And I thought I might preface this with a little bit of Chelsea Bridge by Billy Strayhorn into Body and Soul.
Wonderful.
My heart is sad and lonely, for you I sigh, for you, dear, only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing and wondering why it's me you're wronging. I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you. I can't believe it, it's hard to conceive it, that you turn away romance. Are you pretending it looks like the ending? Unless I could have one more chance to prove, dear, my heart a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. I'd gladly surrender myself to you. Thank you.
can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you turn away romance. Are you pretending? It looks like the ending, unless I could have one more chance to prove, dear.
That was so moving, and you sing so pitch perfect. It's so emotional, and it's also so musically impeccable. Your vocals are just incredible. You must be a recording engineer's dream.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's nice. Well, you know, they say always be friends with the engineer and the first AD. I don't know. But certainly I prefer a studio to live. I mean, I love the magic of live, but it's such a tightrope.
Well, you do it well.
And
I love the way you accompany yourself, because it really takes the song to its essence. And that's really what it's about.
Oh, thank you.
There is a alternate version of this lyric for the song, because the song was published in several different editions. It has a whole schizophrenic history. And after really a long period of searching, I found one of the alternate lyrics, and I'd love to spring it on you, if I may.
Please.
Okay.
My days have grown so lonely, for I have lost my one and only. My pride has been humbled, but I am his body and soul. I was a mere sensation. My house of cards had no foundation. Although it has tumbled, I still am his body and soul. What lies before me, the future is stormy, a winter that's gray and old. Unless there's magic, the end will be tragic, and echo the tale that's been told so often. My life revolved about him. What earthly good am I without him? My castles have crumbled, but I am his body and soul.
Talk about taking the song to its essence. That was, I'm so sad now. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Was so moving. And those lyrics, I think they might be even more piercing than the version that I'm familiar with. They're beautiful. I think perhaps the saddest songs are the best because they make you feel life so much.
They are cathartic. I always say that they save me a lot of money on therapy.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's more coming up with Nellie Mackay. And our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Nellie, do you like to learn a song from the sheet music, or do you learn songs from particular recordings? How do you come to a song?
Oh, boy. Well, I think that's why I tend to sing a lot of songs that I haven't heard, because I'm fairly terrified of doing anything that Billie Holiday recorded. Mm. And so if I do, it's inadvertently, and I didn't mean to. I really didn't, Michael. I'm fairly awful with, you know, solfege and hearing things. I think that's the main obstacle to improvisation. I don't know how you feel about or how you hear things on the piano, but whenever I think I'm going to the right note, I'm not.
So. Well, it's and I don't say this gratuitously. It certainly has worked for you in creating music because your music goes unexpected places, but it feels right, and that's. What I love about these classic songs is that they have surprises, but they seem so inevitable.
Yeah.
You're going to do a song that is quite old. It's pre-1923, and it's one that I'm very excited to hear you do. There'll be some changes made.
Yeah.
That will never do. When you go wrong, you don't last long. Here today and then tomorrow you're gone. I knew a man for many years gone by. I thought this man would never leave nor die. He made some changes from the years gone by. From now on we're gonna make for you and I. There's a change in the weather, change in the sea. From now on there'll be a change in we. Our hearts will be different, our thoughts and our name. Nothing about us gonna be the same. Gonna change our way of living, and if that ain't enough, ooh, we'll change the way that we struts our stuff. For nobody loves you when your bomb's away. There'll be some changes made today. There'll be some changes made. Yeah.
I so enjoyed hearing you do that. It reminded me of a record that Ethel Waters made from 1925, the very same kind of accompaniment, and the way you played those vamps, the way they would always do a vamp before they went into the actual body of the song. I love that.
Oh, well, I love it too, but I must confess that I have a Billie Holiday book of songs that she did, and they have just incredible arrangements, and I learned that whole arrangement out of the book. It's not credited to anyone. It's probably just, you know, some poor lady or fella slaving away in a music publishing
some
company.
Some poor schmuck.
Yeah, but I loved it, and there are several good ones in that book, and they can teach you so much about how to play the piano. I love that stride thing, how it goes back and forth between the right and left. There's a whole conversation that happens.
It's so fascinating, the whole progression of the history of jazz piano, how it went from ragtime to stride to blues to boogie to bop, the whole thing. It's such an interesting journey that happened with piano. And you play all different kinds of styles on the piano.
Oh, and I try, or I fake all different kinds of stuff.
Well, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's how you learn, when you play a wrong note and decide you like it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's so tempting, you know, to play more. Or certainly for me, I used to play xylophone, and I loved it when I played so loud other people found it painful. To me, that was, you know, a great mark of, oh, I'm really hitting it now. And so you have to sometimes hold yourself back, because that simplicity is so beautiful. But for the player, if you can play more, I think I always want to play as fast and as much as possible.
What was that joke I heard? Definition of an optimist: a xylophone player with a beeper? Something like that. Well, I can hear people with gales of laughter as they're listening.
No, but actually, you know, I mean, it, you know, that old Looney Tunes sound, you know, the xylophone in every scene, I hope that makes it come back. I think it's a fun little instrument.
It can't be approximated electronically in quite the same way.
Oh, no. No, it doesn't have quite that annoying ping to it.
Yeah. And it's interesting that I still find it hard to categorize it that way, but piano is a percussion instrument. It's interesting because I don't think of it as that. I think of it as an orchestra.
Right.
Do you think orchestrally when you play?
Yes, and that's why I'm so daunted by it. You know, it's kind of such a relief when you get to the singing, you know, unless you really have it figured out, because, there's so many opportunities for splendor, and there's so many opportunities for the opposite.
I can relate. And vocally... So, having a Billie Holiday book, you must be influenced by Billie.
Oh, very much so. Yes, and of course Ella Fitzgerald, and I like to sing like Frank Sinatra. I don't get the opportunity much, but it's nice to kind of to try to make the ladies swoon every once in a while.
And you have to smoke and drink more.
Yes, I love. I don't know if you've ever seen the concert, him and Joe Beam, but he's got whiskey in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And he's singing the whole, it's just, you know.
Smoking, drinking, never thinking of tomorrow.
Well, and you know, they just found out that heavy drinkers live longer than teetotalers, and moderate drinkers live longest of all. So we should all be drinking moderately to heavy.
Well, I know what I'm going to do after this.
Yes. Well, why wait?
Okay. Well, I'm having a great time with Nellie Mackay, and you can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Doris Day, you did a salute to Doris Day, and she's one of my favorite singers, I think the most underestimated of the pop singers of the last century. How did you come to Doris Day, or why did you want to do, of all the people you've listened to, why a Doris Day recording?
Well, I wouldn't have had the chutzpah to suggest it, but my A&R Mitchell Cohen, he had mentioned it, and pretty much everyone I mentioned it to, because you know, most of my friends are boomers. They had mixed feelings. You know, they had a very strong reaction to the notion of Doris Day, and you know, they pretty much, I think they thought it would sink what career we have left, you know. So, but I don't know. She recorded such marvelous songs, and she's unfairly, you know, associated with the, you know, the white bread part of the 50s, you know, or McCarthyism, and yes. And her art transcends that, and certainly her politics with regard to her animal activism are she's still ahead of the curve. So it was just such a pleasure. Really, the hardest part of it was really trying to make it the best, because I listened to her, you know, she was my salvation in high school, and trying to choose the right songs, because she has such a catalog, it's astonishing.
It is. One Gershwin song that you recorded on your Doris Day CD is one that was written in the 20s for a show called OK, and I would love to do it with you. It's a song that was originally sung by Gertrude Lawrence, but I have to say that I like your rendition better.
Oh, well, I have to respectfully disagree.
Well, may I accompany you in it?
Yes, please.
I remember the bliss of that wonderful kiss. You said that a boy could never get more joy from any little miss. I remember it quite. Was a wonderful night. Oh, how I'd adore it if we could encore it. Oh, do, do, do what you done, done, done before. Baby, do, do, do what I do, 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 adore. Baby, come sigh again, cry again, fly.
To say that do 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 was fun, fun, fun.
Oh, good. Let's do it again.
I would love to. That's another Gershwin song. Oh, do it again.
Oh.
We should have done a do medley.
Yes.
Well, Doris Day, her first movie, Romance on the High Seas, features one of my favorite people, Oscar Levant. Do you know Oscar Levant?
Yes.
He was a Renaissance man. He was the one who later said, I knew Doris Day before she was a virgin.
Right.
He also, when Eddie Fisher left Debbie Reynolds for Elizabeth Taylor, Oscar Levant said, how high could anyone stoop? But he was first and foremost a great musician, and people who remember him now think of him as a wit. But he was one of those people who was a concert pianist but also loved jazz and loved popular music, was very influenced by George Gershwin. And I found a recording, an unreleased recording of his, that his widow had and let me copy from the 1940s called Blue Plate Special, that is an amalgam of all these different styles of music. Can we listen?
Yes, please. It's great. I want a transcription of that.
Well, it doesn't exist anywhere except in that recording. It's, to me, a combination of like Shostakovich and Duke Ellington and Boogie Woogie. And, I mean, it's just crazy. Oscar Levant wrote 80 songs, had 80 published songs, and only one of them has lived on in popularity. And it's one that I've sung since my earliest piano bar days called Blame It on My Youth. I'd like to sing it, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
Adored one, then you became the bored one, and I was like a toy that brought you joy one day, a broken toy that you preferred to throw. If I expected love when first we kissed, blame it on my youth. If only just for you I did exist, blame it on my youth. Everything like a child of three, you meant more than anything all the world to me. If you were on my mind night and day, blame it on my youth. If I forgot to eat and sleep and pray, blame it on my youth. If I cried a little bit when first I learned the truth, don't blame it on my heart, blame it on my youth. Thank you. like a child of three. You meant more than anything. If you were on my mind all night and day, blame it on my youth. If I forgot to eat and sleep and pray, blame it on my youth. If I cried a little bit when first I learned the truth, don't blame it on my heart. Blame it.
That was so beautiful. There was so much I was thinking of while you were doing that song, and I don't know who you were, you know, singing that to, but it seemed so pure and heartfelt.
Sometimes the music just takes me to a zone, as I know it does with you, where it gives a heightened sense of whatever we happen to be feeling. It just brings it right to the fore.
Yes, yeah, and it can be cathartic, or I find, you know, when you write something that, you know, then you have to live with it and deal with it, that it might be easier if you hadn't. but I suppose really it's good to get it out in the open.
I suppose. Well, there's more music in just a minute with Nellie Mackay. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz, and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Nellie, tell me about Home Sweet Mobile Home. The recording has been described as being an amalgam of influences of reggae and Caribbean music.
Oh, thank you. Let's not talk anymore. That's great.
Is it music that came from the Harlem influences? I'm treating it as a whole, of course, and they're all individual songs, but what was the inspiration for this recording, if any?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think there's a certain desperation in trying to escape my European roots. I recently got a DNA test back, and I was searching frantically for Jamaica, any Jamaica on there. But there's such great music in the world, and you know, anything I hear that I like, you know, you want to make it yourself. Mm. And there's certain things. You know, vocal timbres that I know are off. I can't do a kind of gospel voice, and I can't do Green Day, you know. Or, but in terms of the music itself, to try to write for that style, you know, there's just a whole world out there, and I've been inspired by it for so long. We thought, you know, why not just go there and do it?
Bodega. That's one of my faves. Tell me about your experience with bodegas.
Oh, well, they're beautiful. I love their twinkling lights. I was coming back from a party in Spanish Harlem, and I passed one, and I just kind of heard the tune in my head, so I wrote it down, and then I wrote it over food. Purchased from a bodega, and you know, I just think they're the heart and soul of the city. They're open all night. This is supposed to be a city that never sleeps, and as far as I can tell, there are no banks that you know, those bank people sleep. And you know, they're warm, they're inviting, they have their own character. It's like the old Five and Dimes. I really miss Woolworths. That, I think, that's the other reason to become successful, besides that I'd like to pass on my old clothes, is that I'd like to, bring back Woolworths in all its glory.
It sounds good to me. Well, let's hear Bodega.
I love me an old-fashioned bodega.
Bodega.
From the seasides and mountains pouring down.
Pouring down.
From Cairo, Caracas, y Cartagena.
Cartagena.
To the old-fashioned soul. Passion town. When love fills the air and he asks me,
when will you be mine?
I sigh, my Valentine, propose to me in a bodega.
Bodega.
When romance has won and he asks me,
what home shall we have?
I laugh, my better half, just build it inside a bodega. Bodega. I love me bodega,
bodega,
where the fruits and the flowers stay the strife,
stay the strife.
School children come eager to buy their Ortegas,
Ortega.
For as goes the bodega, goes the life.
Well, look at these prices. These are wonderful.
And look at these fruits.
Oh, so many wonderful fruits and vegetables, and no pesticides.
And lotto tickets.
And lotto tickets. Gee, we're a lucky pair.
El paradiso.
Me amo un bodega pasado de moda.
De moda.
Vidrio a prueba de bayas. De negro. Boletos, patatas y soda. En el templo de la gente no callas. When storm clouds appear,
the landlords are loose.
I yell, my grand cayuse, fight with me to save the bodegas. When justice has won,
si se puede.
The demons have lost their demands.
I cry, my darling lamb, make love to me in a bodega, bodega. I love me an old-fashioned bodega,
bodega.
Pretty lights through the darkened pads of Rome,
pads of Rome.
Lead the crippled, the broken, and even the beggar,
the beggar.
To their old-fashioned soul, passion. Take me home, take me home.
Olé, bodega!
Nellie, thank you so much for allowing me to chime in on the chorus of Bodega in my best Corinthian leather voice.
Magnificent, your Corinthian pleather. It's fabulous.
Well, thank you for sharing the richness of your musical experience. It really is very exciting for me to be able to share this time with a person who has such rich appreciation for so much music, and it's really unfettered by negative judgment of, well, this is better than that or that sort of thing. You just sort of take it on its own terms and then synthesize it into your own sound, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having me. In all honesty, I never thought I'd be invited back on this show.
Well, I know Marion had a great time with you, and it's really wonderful to be her substitute, a poor one at that, but to have chance to be with you has really been fantastic.
Oh, this is exceptional. Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, it's my pleasure, and we're going to put together a couple of songs and do a sort of instant closing medley, just add water.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we wouldn't add water because the first song is On the Sunny Side of the Street.
Right.
And then the other one is Undecided, and I think that's appropriate for us.
Yes.
So thank you again, and it's been a great joy making music with you.
Oh, same here. I don't know what your rates are, but if we could do every show together, that would be fab.
I'm affordable.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Nellie Mackay.
Thank you.
I guess I'll never learn and I'll show it.
If you got a heart and if you're kind, then don't keep us apart, make up your mind.
You're undecided now, so what are you gonna do?
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with guest host Michael Feinstein. Today his guest has been Nellie Mackay. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the guests and music on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Add a jazz touch to your holidays with an NPR Jazz Christmas with Marion McPartland and Friends, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Information available online at shop.npr.org. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.